Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and welcome to Master Leadership. Great leaders ask great questions, and this podcast takes you on a journey to master leadership with questions that matter to leaders who matter with your host, Lily Sanabria.
Hi, this is Lily, and welcome to Master Leadership, where we connect with leaders worldwide to gain insights on important topics to help us on our journey towards greater significance. If you would like to participate as a guest, or if you have a question that you would like to ask a guest, go to masterleadership.org for more information. Sheila Klofkorn is the founder and president of CEO Marketing, a top B2B marketing agency that helps Fortune 1000 companies and mid-market businesses in over 100 countries scale faster by executing well-rounded, goal-oriented marketing plans. They've significantly increased leads and sales revenues by hundreds of millions of dollars for thousands of clients over the past 20 years. Their team of over 29 experienced specialists includes email marketers, digital advertisers, social media managers, and copywriters, and they've won multiple accolades, including several Stevie American Business Awards for Marketing Campaign of the Year for their outstanding work. For over 25 years, Sheila has helped companies in many industries prosper through her work in marketing. She began her career in the 1990s as a small marketing firm in New York City, where she assisted in its expansion into the biggest youth marketing firm globally. She takes pride in having been among the first online advertisers and witnessing the expansion of the digital marketing and advertising sectors as a whole. Sheila has also received countless honors, most recently being recognized as one of In Business Magazine Phoenix's 2022 Women of Achievement and the Phoenix Business Journal's Top 10 Business Leaders of the Year and Top 25 Dynamic Women in Business. Our interview will begin right after messages from our sponsors. Have you been wanting to launch your podcast and just haven't found the right resources? I launched Master Leadership Podcast in 2016, and it now ranks in top 1% globally. I've gathered all I've learned and created Master Your Podcast in a Weekend course on Master Your Swag app so that you have everything you need to share your voice with the world, minus those excuses. So download Master Your Swag app on Google or Apple platforms to access the Master Your Podcast course and launch your podcast this weekend. Welcome, Sheila Klofkorn. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Lily, for having me on.
Well, it's exciting to have you. You know, I can't help but notice we both have bookshelves. So, which tells me you are an avid reader.
Yes.
Which means we all need to tune in because you have a lot to share. Are you ready to pour into our listeners?
Yes.
All right. So Sheila, tell us a bit about your path to leadership and what you're doing now.
Sure. So I feel like I've been a student of leadership since I was in high school. I had my first leadership experiences going to Washington, D.C. with other students at that time. And ever since then, I have been a student of it. I have a master's degree in higher education administration. And when I got my first job out of grad school at Arizona State University, I actually taught leadership courses to college students.
Yay.
And so much has changed. That was 30 years ago. Now, for the last 23 years, I've owned and led a business-to-business marketing agency. It's a small agency. There are about 29 of us, and we represent clients all over the country, some of whom have business all over the world, and we generate leads and sales to help them fill their sales pipelines.
Yeah. So you and I have something in common. I also have my master's in ed leadership. So it's been 30 years.
Yes.
What has been the biggest change that you see?
it's a leadership change that's impacted by the generations. So I'm Gen X, and we grew up in the 80s and 90s, and that style of leadership was much more direct. It was a generation that was motivated by money, by achievement, and those kinds of things. Certainly the workforce that I have in my current company, there are a couple of us Gen Xers, but most of my people in my company are much younger. So millennials and even Gen Z folks, and they are motivated by other things. So millennials are highly motivated by purpose and tend to move more in packs. Gen Z is also motivated by purpose and making a big difference with the planet. Those are just a few examples of how they're different. So over that time period, I've really had to change my leadership style to be effective with the different generations that I've employed in my company.
So that traditional top-down in education, they still dig deep in that. So we're trying to shift that, although it is changing and I'm excited about that. But what you said was interesting. You said they're motivated by purpose. Don't you love that? I also see how Gen Xers and baby boomers are motivated by purpose. I think the younger generation has opened us up to
yes,
that.
Yes, that's absolutely true. For me as a Gen Xer, I was motivated by purpose in my leadership outside of work. But I very much in the early days felt like I needed to do the top-down leadership that I was trained to do at work. And those operated as two separate spheres of my life. I was very involved in LGBTQ advocacy for 25 years, trying to get same-sex marriage. And I very much was driven by that purpose in my personal life. It just didn't show up in my work life until, you know, probably only 8 years ago.
Right. But it showed up.
Yes.
And that's what matters. So you have a marketing and advertising agency. So tell me a little bit more about that, because that's all about leadership. Leadership is influence.
Right. Well, we have a business to business marketing agency and we're full service. So we basically are the outsourced marketing department for about a dozen to 15 companies at any one time. And we've innovated and pioneered on that model, because we also offer fractional CMO services. So part-time head of marketing services, where I serve as a part-time head of marketing and my team augments any in-house folks in terms of the marketing execution and leadership. Marketing today is really sophisticated and it is very hard for a mid-market company to succeed and be able to afford senior level specialized talent that their bigger competitors have. So by offering the team and the fractional CMO on a part-time basis, we can save their costs and allow them to scale faster and compete with bigger competitors.
So that's very interesting. So if I have a project that we're launching, you're the person to call.
Yes, anybody can go to keomarketing.com. We offer a complimentary marketing audit. It's a 40 to 50 page report that really gives you the roadmap for your success. If after reading that audit and seeing our proposal, you decide that you want some help, then that enables me to make sure that our program would be customized for you. It also gives you a sense of the quality of our thinking. And most of our clients have been with us between 2 and 12 years. So a long, long time. We basically build marketing systems that generate leads month in and month out, no matter whether Google changes its algorithm or LinkedIn changes or ad buys change or SEO changes, any of those kinds of things.
So smart, Sheila. Certainly perked my curiosity. So when we speak about marketing, there were a lot of people that knew about marketing prior to COVID, but COVID changed everything about marketing where no one knew anything for a little bit. So what has been the biggest shift?
Well, certainly marketing gets more sophisticated every single year. So ChatGPT is something that people are talking about now, which is using artificial intelligence with chat. So that's an example of something that has changed. Two primary things changed during COVID. One is that the world moved en masse to digital marketing because all of the traditional marketing things that you used to do, networking events, trade shows, all of those were for the most part, on hold. And so it pushed more people to doing Google ads, LinkedIn ads in our B2B space, TikTok or Facebook or Instagram, if you're more in the B2C space. And as a result, those ad costs went up dramatically. So coming out of COVID, it is more expensive to advertise your business than it was before. It is also more expensive to hire marketing talent. Marketing talent that I hire today are as much as 40% more expensive than they were 3 years before. Mm-hmm. So everything about marketing is more expensive. The great thing about how marketing changes, though, is that there is always more personalized and direct ways to target people. So if you are in the B2B space, leveraging LinkedIn and all of LinkedIn's new service offerings are really powerful as a way to connect with people, as long as you're not being too salesy. It's really important, no matter what kind of marketing that you're doing, that you're out to educate, that you provide value first, and then you invite people in to share with you what you have.
And that's exactly what you do by offering that rapport. You provide value first. You're walking your talk, my friend.
Yes.
You know, another thing that keeps coming up is blockchain. And I don't know much about that. So school us a little bit on what's coming.
Sure. Well, the great thing about blockchain is it means that contracts can be decentralized. You don't need a middle person like a bank to do financial transaction, for example. What it means for advertising and marketing is that the middle people may go away at some point, because today, in order to get to your customers, you need the Google search engine, or you need LinkedIn as the middle person to get there. Eventually, we are all going to have our own ID in the blockchain, and people will be able to market to you individually, directly. You may also have an AI, an artificial intelligence, who does some of your stuff for you. Some people say that in the future, you won't have to pick out your own toothpaste because your AI will already know everything about you and go out and do your shopping. So there's no need to do any marketing of toothpaste. So there's a lot of change afoot. It's all very exciting. I think the most important thing is to get help in learning how to leverage marketing today. That's why we offer this audit, for example, because it's impossible to keep up and run your own business and be the expert in everything that you do. So engaging experts on a part-time basis like we offer is a great way to get up to speed and to stay up to speed, because it changes all the time. Google alone does more than 500 major algorithm updates a year. They're doing multiple updates every single day. When I started in 2000, they did maybe one update a month, sometimes one or two every 6 months. So everything is faster, everything is more sophisticated, but it's also in its essence simpler to get in front of people because they have a LinkedIn account, an email address, an Instagram account, those kinds of things.
Well, now your target market, tell me about that.
We primarily help mid-size and large businesses. So companies with at least $5 million in revenue. And that's because in order to have our team help you, you're probably in a position that you want to scale and you want to scale quickly. So for example, we work with software as a service firms and help them triple their revenue in just a few years so they can get ready for an acquisition or something like that. We work with big divisions of big brands like part of American Express or Honeywell or Avnet, companies like that.
A lot of value. Thank you so much. Now, Sheila, so as a lifelong learner, what are you learning right now?
So I'm a huge student of emotional intelligence and empathy, and there's a couple of new books out there related to that. I really believe that empathy is the secret sauce to solving most of the world's problems. If we can be active listeners, if we can show that we're on the same side of the table with the person that we're speaking with, you just develop really meaningful relationships. It makes life worth living. It certainly, in the leadership arena, makes leadership and leading people a much more enjoyable experience than the top-down kind of leadership we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned some books. What are some books that we should be reading?
Well, I mean, if you haven't read the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0, it's a fantastic book. And the great thing about it is that you get an assessment. So you get a code when you get the book, whether you get the Audible or the hardback book. And you can take an assessment and see where you are first. And then as you're reading the book, you can really tie what you're reading to your own situation or the situation of your team. We just met as a team and did it as a team. And it's been really valuable to help people understand where other people on the team are coming from.
Love it. Now, when you think of leadership today, what most concerns you and what are you most hopeful about?
I think in terms of concern, you know, we're living in a polarized environment, and it concerns me that some people don't care about leadership or ethical leadership or communication. They just want what they want. Right. And that, to me, isn't leadership at all. So I think the importance of your podcast and the work that you do is so important because it reinforces how important leadership is in all parts of life. I mean, we need to be leaders in our families, with our kids, in our companies, with our friends. We need to show up with emotional intelligence, even when we're frustrated, all of those kinds of things. And so I just think there's never been a more important time to make sure that we think about leadership and think about who we are as leaders and who we are as authentic leaders and how we can help inspire and motivate other people to do good and positive things in the world.
You know, that quote from Gandhi comes to mind always, be the change, right? Be the change you wish to see in the world.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're walking the talk and you've been there, right? You've been on the traditional end and you've seen and you've had the impact of what that does to someone's heart when we're under that oppressive type of leadership.
But Lily, wouldn't you say that leadership is a lifelong journey?
Absolutely.
It's not like you get to be a leader and then you're just a leader forevermore. I think we all are challenged every single day being leaders and being a better, more present, more capable, more aware leader every single day.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about leadership. First, you have to lead yourself well, right? Mm-hmm. Before you can lead others well. You speak about emotional intelligence. And one of the things that I learned some time ago was that I needed to handle my stuff, like my past stuff, my emotional stuff, areas where I was stuck. I needed to handle that and not bury it. You know, the trauma, all that stuff that happens. And most of us have gone through trauma in one form or another. But if we bury it and we don't really look at it and look at how we develop and how self-aware we are, we're not going to grow as leaders. And not only that, when we become leaders, that stuff is magnified. It's not buried anymore. It is magnified. Everybody else can see it but you, right?
You're exactly right. And that word that you said, self-awareness, I think is the most important thing about leadership.
Self-awareness and humility, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
Right, because we can become self-aware, and so what if we don't change? So we know a little bit more about ourselves.
I think people skip the step of self-awareness, and that's why I think it's so important. Incredible. We get too focused on pushing other people to do the things that we need to get done or moving too fast. And we forget about how we show up has almost a bigger impact than what we're asking of the people we are leading.
Yes. And you're right. I mean, most people who are self-aware are people who want to change and want to move forward in that direction. So well said. Now we have a surprise question. Are you ready? Brendan Baker wants to know, what are the top three recommendations that you would give to someone who is about to do your job?
To do my job as the owner of a small business or to do my job as the CEO of an agency?
You pick.
Well, I think the things that I have struggled with have caused me to say these three things. One is about having emotional intelligence. I've been through periods in my company over the past 23 years when I haven't shown up as a leader that I'm proud of because of something that was going on in my life at the time. So just getting better at being able to show up as the kind of leader that other people like to work with is really important.
Super.
The second one is that systems and processes are really important to have a successful business. when you start out as a consultant or you start out in a startup, it's easy to say, you know, we're just going to every day kind of run by the seat of our pants. There is no business on the planet that works successfully and can grow or succeed past a year if it doesn't have systems and processes.
Right.
And so I view that as part of leadership as well. Yeah. And then the third thing is just around what we were just talking about, which is self-awareness and authenticity. That as a leader, people respect when they know that you're a real person and you can make mistakes too. When I can say to my team, you know, I'm sorry, I should have communicated better on that. Or I'm sorry, I didn't follow the process that we have set up or something like that. If we can all be real together, then we tend to be the kind of organization that people love to work at, love to be a part of, and can make a big contribution. So contribution is my number one value. I am on this planet to make a contribution in all the areas of my life. And so I constantly think about how do I need to show up today in order to make that contribution? Who do I need to be to get the outcomes that I want in my life? And that's true in my company. That's true in my personal relationships, in my family. And that's a higher level standard, I think.
How do I need to show up? Who do I need to be? Those absolutely are high level questions. You are contributing. And I want to put a stamp on that. You've contributed so much to us already in such a short time.
Thank you.
You spoke about self-awareness and authenticity. That's something that often people talk about, authenticity, being real. But I know I've come across people that are so guarded, right? Mm-hmm. As a leader, how can we help people to drop those guards? Like, what are some things that we can do?
I think you hit it on the head earlier when you said, you know, I kind of needed to work through my own stuff as a part of this journey. And that's true too. So one thing is just about personality. Some people are more introverted than others. Some people have been through different things in their lives. But we just had a leadership consultant come in and talk to us for our strategy meeting for our company last week. And she did this really great exercise that I thought was so powerful. So she had each of us talk about the things that we admired in leaders who were both living and deceased. Mm-hmm. So we made a list of all the people we admire, and then we wrote down what were the qualities of those leaders. And we had to share what they were, and someone else, as our partner, wrote them down. And then she turned the tables, and she had the person who wrote them down share them, except for the person who had said them. And so if you think Gandhi is one of the leaders that you follow because he is peaceful and self-aware and very insightful, then I would come back to you and say, Lily, you are peaceful, you are insightful, and you are very self-aware. And it was a really transformative experience for my team because they hadn't thought about themselves. But the key point is the things that we admire in other leaders are typically things that we bring to our own leadership.
Or that we want to become.
Yes. We probably have some level of it. Like if empathy is something that you admire in other leaders, you are probably a person who has some level of empathy yourself.
Absolutely. It also gives you a different perspective. It also helps you to put your limiting beliefs in place, right? Because we all have limiting beliefs. Like, what? I can not. But someone speaking to you and saying, yes, that's who you are. That's very powerful. It gives us a different perspective. And it also helps us to see what others could see in us.
It did exactly that for my team. It helped them think, maybe I am those things. Yeah. Maybe I don't need to have that limiting belief that I'm not even close to being as great as this person I admire.
Yes. And that connection and communication opens us up. So thank you for that. That's very powerful stuff. Now, as a listener of this podcast, what's a question that you would like a future leadership guest to respond to? Like, what are you curious about?
I think the thing that I think about leadership or I struggle with myself is, how can I show up as that person I want to show up with, even when things are overwhelming, when there's conflict, especially with people that I care about? How can I show up every day, even when it's stressful And I always believe that stress is actually the word for fear for leaders. We can't seem to say the word fear, but we can say stress. I just think continuing to help me and other leaders with how to handle those situations. You know, there are many days when I feel like I've got it. And then there are some days when I feel like I don't. And that's probably true for most of us.
Love it, Sheila. Now, you have a podcast too, correct?
I do.
Oh, well, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I have a podcast where I interview CEOs and founders of companies. It's called the CEO and Founder Magic Podcast. I would invite any CEOs or founders out there to join. And we talk about some of the same kind of stuff. You know, what did you learn during your journey as a CEO or a founder that you could share with other people who are just starting the journey or are somewhat behind you in their journey? All of us can benefit from learning from others and shortcutting that time it takes to have success. It takes a village to raise a kid, but it also takes a village to become the kind of leader that we all want to be.
Absolutely. So well said. And let's tune into your podcast.
CEO and Founder Magic.
Love it. Now, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Lily, I just love what you're doing with the podcast. Having these conversations is really important. It's the stuff that fills people up that we think about when we're in the shower or driving in the car. This kind of stuff is how can I show up better? And you're keeping that conversation going. So you're just a gift and I appreciate you. I've appreciated the other episodes of your podcast and look forward to listening to more.
Sheila, thank you so much for adding value to me and to our listeners. It's been a great conversation.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Lily.
In closing, here's a quick message. Coaching is the art of influence that underpins leadership in the 21st century. It is the very thing that can get you from being stuck to being extraordinary. So go to masterleadership.org and sign up to get a free coaching session. Until next time, continue to ignite that leader in you.